Anthony DeCopel's son used to tell people his father was a real estate broker. But the truth was, Mr. DeCopel was a big-time drug dealer responsible for moving tons of marijuana from Colombia.
I enjoyed smuggling. I liked to do it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. It was great.
But DeCopel's beloved lifestyle and the riches it provided eventually crashed, splitting his family apart. His only son, Tony DeCopel, is now a reporter at Newsweek magazine, and he recently visited his father after 2 decades of virtually no communication. He wrote about the experience and his unusual childhood for Newsweek, and he joins me now from our New York bureau. Welcome to you.
Thank you.
Can I ask first, why did you decide to reconnect with your father after 2 decades of estrangement?
I became a father myself this summer, and when the due date was announced, I immediately began thinking about the kind of father I wanted to be, and that left me searching for role models, thinking about my father, and I realized that I kind of wanted to replant the family tree and to decide what I wanted to take into the new generation. I felt like I should at least go back to the previous generation, to my father, learn more about him since I hadn't seen him in a few decades, and decide what lessons I could bring on.
Well, when you found him, your father was living alone in government-subsidized housing in Cambridge near Harvard University. Tell me about that day when you met, and what was it like to see him?
I think for that meeting, didn't engage on that level. I went there as a person writing a crime story and interviewing a subject, and I didn't go to it on that level. But some of the stuff that I found out about him is really hard on the heart. The kind of drug use that he does now is of the most pitiful sort. He smokes crack out of plastic liquor bottles that bums throw away, and he modifies them, burning a hole in the side of the plastic to use the stuff. And it's just so poignantly sad that it really gets me. But initially, when I was there, I was armored with a notepad and a recorder, and part of the reason I was able to
shield.
Yeah, exactly.
Your father talks about being known as Big Tony back in the day. Mm-hmm. I mean, is that still how he sees himself? Is he a Big Tony still?
I think everyone in my family would agree that he is an egomaniac. He imagines himself to be a big man who can shape the world to his desires. So, yeah, he definitely revels in the Big Tony.
You videotaped your conversation with him, and we have a link to that at NPR.org. You asked him what he thought of himself. You asked him if he thought of himself as a criminal. Let's listen to what he said.
No, I don't look at myself as criminal. It was a victimless crime, Tony. There was no victims. It was against the law what I was doing, smuggling. But there were no victims. Everybody who you came in contact with was happy because they were either making money or they were having a good time with you in some hotel.
Is that your memory growing up with this man as your father? Was it happy times?
In fact, it was. We had a blast in Florida. I wore a uniform to the private school I went to, and we drove around in my father's Mercedes. But outside of school, I was a shirtless, barefoot kid on the beach constantly, long blonde hair. I mean, I had a really idyllic childhood about to the age of 9 when my father's own drug habits, I mean, he broke the cardinal rule of the dealer, right, which is don't become a drug addict yourself. His own heroin and coke habits consumed him. His business connections frayed, and he ended up on Skid Row. And then that's when things went really south for the whole family.
And did you know what was happening when this was all going on? What did you think?
I didn't really get clued in to what his occupation really was until I was in high school. And my stepfather, who was in fact one of my father's partners, began to, as all criminals eventually do, talk about somewhat proudly, somewhat wistfully about his exploits.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Tell Me More from NPR News. I'm talking with Newsweek reporter Tony DeCopel, who recently wrote about growing up with a drug-dealing father and their emotional reunion. In researching this, you looked up some government records along the way, and you also spoke with your family members, including your mother. I'm curious what her take is on this and how comfortable she is telling you about all the stuff that happened.
She was very uncomfortable with the story because I think she had packed many of these memories away, and talking about them again stirred up ugly issues for her. something I should have included in the story and I didn't is a line that just says, my mother acted quite heroically under some difficult circumstances. Some of those circumstances were of her own making. Others she couldn't have predicted. But overall, I think she was a very strong and steady influence in my life.
Can you tell me about some of the vacations? You write about these road trips, and you were driving out in the desert or in Long Island somewhere, and you thought you were just spending family time. And in fact, your mother was trying to go find some of the drug money that had been stashed away. Is that right?
Absolutely. And we were visiting family, but we were also doing other things. And the most memorable trip was a cross-country journey from Florida to Albuquerque, New Mexico in a rented Winnebago. And I had a blast. I was like 7 years old, and we stopped at the Petrified Forest on the way, and we stopped at all these little stands in the Southwest where I could buy fossils. I was really into dinosaurs back then. And then at some point, I later discovered, we got to Albuquerque, and my mother, at about 10 o'clock at night, went into the backyard with a shovel at my cousin's house and dug up a cooler.
You were sleeping, or she was like, excuse me, honey, I'll be right back.
I was sleeping. I was sleeping. I said, what was your – had I woken up, mother, and I heard you digging in the backyard, what would you have said to me? And she said, I don't know. I would have made it up on the spot. It's easy to fool a seven-year-old. And she found an igloo cooler. My father says he put 500 grand in it. She says there was about half that. And they put it in the Winnebago. I didn't notice it. I had no idea it was there. And we drove it all the way back to Florida. And the reason we had a Winnebago rather than fly is because you can't take more than 10 grand on an airplane without telling authorities. I thought this was just a great, she does love to drive. And I thought, wow, road trip score.
It's really funny how your mother took such a different path and eventually ended up actually teaching about recovery methods and anti-drug. Really, she became an ardent activist almost against drug abuse. Is that right?
Right.
Even though she had been a willing partner and helped your dad all these years when he was making money from this.
Right, right. Politically, my mother is behind the legalization of marijuana, and so she never had any qualms about being part of a business that imported the stuff. But when my father became an addict and he started going to rehab, she also entered a kind of rehab, and she also got a degree in substance abuse counseling from the University of Miami, paid for by drug money, which I suspect many of the degrees there were paid for by some drug money.
You recently had your own son. What will you tell him later about his grandfather?
I think when he is going through a phase where he reads adventure books, I will tell him about the adventurer that was his grandfather. And then a little bit later, when he's becoming aware of substance abuse on TV, I will repackage it as a cautionary tale. I think it will be the gift that keeps on giving in that sense. It can be, it can give him a sense of being from a dangerous family, and that can be good for a boy. And at the same time, it can be an object lesson in what not to do.
When you've met your father recently, he admitted to you that he was still an addict. Let's listen.
I was so addicted to cocaine. It was my downfall. That was... No person was my nemesis. It was just the cocaine. And I could never break the habit. I even do some today.
Do you think that addiction was what led to your father's crash? And I'm wondering if you have any sympathy for him now.
Yeah, I do think addiction led to his crash. Am I sympathetic? I'm not that sympathetic because while... By telling himself once an addict, always an addict, which has been a mantra of his for years, he never really he was never really required to test his willpower. It was already a foregone conclusion that his destiny was sealed. So,
have you forgiven your father?
Yeah, I have. As I said in the piece near the end, there are worse fates to having a father like mine. I'm okay with it. I'm at peace with it.
Newsweek reporter Tony DeCopel, thank you so much.
Thank you.
You can find Tony DeCopel's story, My Father, the Dope Dealer, and the video of his reunion on our website. Go to NPR, visit thenewnpr.org, go to programs, and click on Tell Me More. Tony DeCopel also had an exclusive interview last week with John Yetow, the Missouri man who was recently released from prison in Myanmar. Yettel made an unwelcome visit to the home of pro-democracy leader Aung San Suu Kyi, an incident that landed her an additional 18 months under house arrest. Yettel is back in the U.S. now, and we have a link to DeCoppel's interview with him at npr.org.